Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Adoption Focus. My name is Jennifer Jaworski, and I am a social worker with Adoption Associates of Michigan. This is Adoption Associates' premier talk radio blog show. Adoption Associates was founded in 1990, and we specialize in both domestic and international adoption. We provide pregnancy and adoption services throughout all of Michigan, with offices located in Jenison, Lansing, Farmington Hills, and Saginaw. Anywhere in Michigan, you can find a connection to Adoption Associates. Adoption Associates brings knowledge, support, and understanding in adoption. Adoption is not only our specialty, but it is our passion. One of Adoption Associates' commitments is to this radio show, to help educate and support adoptive families, birth families, and the adoption community. So we are very glad that you're listening in today. If you'd like to call in during the show with questions or comments, we would love to hear from you at 347-850-1100. One more time, the number to call in with questions or comments, 347-850-1100. Please feel free to use that number. And I am excited to invite and introduce to today's show our guest, Shannon Berger. Shannon, are you with us?
I am.
Good morning. Thank you for taking the time to be on Adoption Focus.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. So we are interested to hear your story from both a personal, very personal and professional sense. You are a mom through adoption, and you're going to talk today about international adoption and how you and your husband grew your family. And so, well, let's just go ahead and get started, and I don't want to spoil it by telling too much, but tell us a little bit about yourself and your connection to adoption.
Well, I'm connected to Adoption Associates because I had the privilege of working there for several years. I was a birth mom caseworker as well as a home study caseworker, and that was before we started our family. Yeah, it was great, a great experience there.
Great.
Our family, so my husband and I, we currently have 6 kids in our home. Our oldest 2 are girls. Haven is 13 and Naomi is 12. And then our son Levi is 11. Our son Eris is 8. We currently have a foster daughter with us that's 3. And then our youngest is Dax and he is 2.
Okay, so maybe cliche to say, but you're a very busy family.
Yes, yeah, it is quite an adventure. That's why
awesome.
I'm in the car doing this.
find that quiet place where you can.
Yes.
So today we're focusing on international adoption, although I do hope in the future that you will come back on the show and talk with us about domestic adoption from the birth mother perspective. You just mentioned that you formerly were a birth mother caseworker, and I know that that is something that you're passionate about. But for now, I'd like to get started. And if you could, I'd like you to talk about how you and your husband made the decision to grow your family through adoption.
Yep. Well, we first met on a mission trip, that was for Calcutta, India. And that was back in 1999. And when we were on that mission trip, I had the opportunity to go to, I can't remember if it was 2 or 3 different Mother Teresa homes.
Mm-hmm.
And they were awesome and terrifying and life-changing just to be able to be there. And so I had, prior to that been thinking about adopting, even honestly as being single. But that seeing what I saw in India just solidified that that I needed to do something with adoption. So we began dating shortly after, and we talked adoption before we got married and planned on adopting whether or not we had any biological children or not. Because of Calcutta, our heart was just called to international adoption. So that's how we focus there. And then, you know, I had worked at Adoption Associates and knew it was a quality agency, so it was a no-brainer where we were going to adopt from, you know, mm-hmm. when it came time for us to do that. And then all that we did, I remember we were on a family trip and we just did kind of a spreadsheet of questions that we had and which of the different countries that AI offered, you know, the differences about them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we ultimately decided to go with China.
Okay. So. And I know that when you and I were first speaking about today's show, one of the things that really struck me that you mentioned was after the experiences that you had on your mission trip, that it was no longer an option for you not to do something, for you not to become involved. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, the poverty we saw it was heartbreaking. We, at the orphanage, we were told we weren't supposed to touch them, the kids, because then they would get used to physical touch, and then they would want that, and then when we left, they would cry. You know, it would make it harder on the few workers that they had there. And it makes sense, but we need that. Humans, we need that physical contact and the love that is shared between people. And I couldn't see what I saw and not do something. So,
right.
Yeah, so it was definitely life-changing.
Presently, one of the needs of Adoption Associates is for families in our China Special Needs Program. And for those who are willing to consider this, would you like to address your in-country experience that you had in China?
Yes. It was like clockwork. It was planned out, laid out, so it made it easy for us. We're going through a lot of different emotions, and we brought the three kids with us that we already had in our home when we adopted our fourth from China. And it made it fabulous that, you know, we knew exactly what was going to happen every step of the way. The hotels were all planned out. Interpreters were there with us. We never scheduled an interpreter. It was all done for us. They were there anytime we needed them to answer questions with whatever we needed. We were given a schedule to follow. It included touristy things at the beginning of the trip before we got our son. And they just walked us through every step of the way. It really made it simple in that regards. And then we got to experience it with three. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No. You go ahead.
Often you can travel in with other families, and we were able to do that with three other families, two of the families we had met prior to traveling. And we have truly grown to love them. We get together with them at least once a year, often more than that. We just did a girls' weekend with just the moms. And,
nice.
It has been really great. I know I can call them and, with shared experiences and questions if ever I need to. So that is a really neat thing about the China program that we experienced.
Yeah, that is very nice. Not only did you have a good experience in country with the logistics, but maybe unexpectedly these relationships that have formed that you've been able to maintain and the support that comes from those sorts of things, it's hard to put words to sometimes how much it means to us parents.
Yeah.
So as we know, everything in life is so much clearer in retrospect, and I know that you have some thoughts and feelings about the things that you learned through international adoption. Let's talk about that for a minute if we can.
Yes, I would. I believe what helped us a lot was getting a lot of education ahead of time, such as listening to, podcasts of different people's experiences. Books were so valuable to me. The meetings, the educational meetings that you can take at Adoption Associates, or I know there's a lot of them online. Having that pre-adoption education for me helped me know that the actions our son first had, or I should say both of them, they first had, and the emotions that we had were all normal. And they can vary from person to person, but it was so nice to have had that knowledge that, you know what, this is normal. You know, he is probably going to reject us. He doesn't know who the heck we are, you know, or eating issues or screaming or whatever, you know, or the feelings that we have toward our child, you know, that they vary from family to family and person to person. But knowing that in advance and proved to me to be super valuable.
And you raise an important point there, I just want to mention, because this pre-adoption education being such a vital component of what is done when families are pursuing adoption, it definitely should be mentioned, because many families find that education to be a little bit scary at first.
Right.
But in retrospect, as you've mentioned, once you returned home, your fears were lessened because of the knowledge that you had obtained early on.
Yes, for sure. It really helped me know I wasn't alone in some of the feelings. It wasn't love at first sight for me. And so attachment, you know, didn't happen right away. It has been a process. And it can take a lot of work, but knowing that in advance was really helpful to me. I knew some people have the storybook story, you know, that everything's perfect. Ours wasn't, for various reasons. And so it was helpful to know that this is normal sometimes, you know?
Sure.
And it was nice that because I had heard about, you know, heard stories and had read a lot, I knew steps that I could take or people that I could talk to, you know, different things. So, whereas if you wait till after you have the child to try to gain that knowledge, it can be a little more challenging because you're in the midst of it.
Right.
And you are exhausted sometimes, depending on, you know, what issues. And some people don't have issues to begin with, which is nice, but some of us do. So,
so in reference to that, it does sound like there were some challenges for your family regarding the attachment and bonding. Do you think you could share maybe a few tips? Things that worked for you or things that you, you know, turned to during that time?
Yes. I don't mind talking pretty openly about it. One of our sons would just scream for hours and I thought I would go crazy. Sometimes I had to just walk away. We tried staying with him as much as we could. Sometimes we would hold him if he would let us. There were sometimes I would just, let's get in the car. He did a lot better out and about. When we got him in the car, he'd stop screaming. So, you know, we would do that. We eventually found a therapist who was fabulous. And she walked us through things. And honestly, we took him back, like, even though he was 3 or 4 at the time, I rocked him. I gave him a bottle that had, you know, milk or juice, whatever in it, just because he probably didn't have that. And if he didn't have it with me, for sure, you know. So as much as that sounds maybe a little silly, I think that that truly has helped.
You said we took him back, you meant developmentally, so to speak, regressing to what an infant or a toddler would need.
Right. And I, you know, I remember going to a class that's, thank you for verifying that.
That's okay.
And I remember going to a class that talked about, you know, the importance of crawling. So we would crawl around the house, you know. And, well, I'm, you know, 40 or whatever, but at the time, but we still, you know, so yeah, we did do the regression thing and try to bring him up to speed. And I do think that helped. But just being there, we didn't let other people do a lot for him. We were his caretakers, so he was doomed to attach to us.
Right.
We did everything for him. So we have chosen to homeschool, so we are together a lot. And so I think that also has been a good thing for our family.
Sure.
I know it's not for everybody, but those are some of the things that have helped for us with attachment.
Okay. And were there any other things you wanted to talk about in terms of what you feel you learned through international adoption, what you would want to pass along to others?
Let's see. Trying to look through the notes of what I wanted to say today.
That's okay.
Through one of the things that we've learned throughout, whether it's fostering or we did safe families with international adoption, each of it has taught us to be a little more selfless. One of my greatest joys is seeing the kids that are already in our home spring into action to prepare for a new family member.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether they're going to be here for a little bit or whether they're here for a long time. You know, they're sharing their stuff, they're sharing their space, they're sharing their parents, they're sharing their siblings, you know, food,
mm-hmm.
toys, everything. So I feel like we've gotten with each child we add, we get a better glimpse of who God is. We get to see how much he loves us,
mm-hmm.
And his commitment to us. I've seen that, you know, when my son would scream for hours and I thought I was going to go insane, I would then see my two older daughters. They were still young at the time, but when I couldn't take it anymore, they still loved him and hugged
mm-hmm.
him. And even though he had just, you know, wreaked havoc on our lives. And he's come a long way. He is like the joy in our family now. He keeps us on our toes and stuff, but he's the party waiting to happen.
Nice.
But to see that, you know, unconditional love that my other children have had for each new child that's come in has been really impactful.
Yeah, I did want to ask you about the impact of adoption on your family members and on yourself, and it sounds like you definitely have touched on that a little bit. That was a nice nice story. Thanks for sharing. Were anything else there that you want to add about how adoption has impacted your family members or yourself?
Let's see. It's kind of, our identity is in Christ, but we've also become known, I guess, as the adoptive family, you know.
Right.
We're all different colors, and that's been fun. I guess it can be challenging at times, too, you know, to find avenues to help them with their racial identity, you know, whether Asian or African or, you know, whatever. They're all Americans, but... you know, we have that issue to consider.
Right. And regarding those ethnic and racial identity issues, were you prepared for that? And if so, what preparation was involved in that component?
No, I don't have that anything of that in my notes.
Sorry. Yep. I sprung that one on you.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. You were talking earlier about the pre-adoption education, and we were focusing at that time on the attachment and bonding and how prepared you were for that. I'm assuming that there was also some preparation on your part for racial and ethnic related issues.
Yeah, we had lived, and currently we recently moved, but we had lived in a city that was, you know, racially diverse, that was important. You know, when you're looking at physicians or dentists, it's nice to consider that, to have
right.
books in your home, you know, that are by different, from different cultures, about different cultures. You know, we've enjoyed
mm-hmm.
studying a little bit about the differences in cultures, not just the ones that are in our family, but it's fun to learn about all different ones or different religions and what people believe. So I do think that that's an important part.
Absolutely.
To consider. Definitely. Getting together, you know, there's this group called Families with Children from China, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's a really active group in the Metro Detroit area. And, you know, they do Chinese New Year. And so you get to learn different things there, and you see a lot of other families that look just like yours.
Right.
So that's kind of neat to not always be the family, the conspicuous family, you know.
Sure, sure.
So
we, as we are approaching the end of today's show, I'm wondering if you have any thoughts or words of wisdom that you'd like to share or pass along with our listeners who may be considering growing their family through international adoption.
Yeah, I do have a couple thoughts on that. One thing that pushed us when we were questioning whether we wanted to keep going was I was at a conference and the question popped up on the screen. It said, if you are waiting for the perfect time to adopt, it will never get here. Your ducks aren't always going to be in a row, you know, and even when you think they are, you know, life just happens. So don't wait for necessarily the perfect time because it's probably not, you know, we're not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is I once heard a brave pastor had said in a sermon, some of you have children that are in other countries just waiting for you to say yes. I would just encourage everybody listening to just say yes. It will be the adventure of a lifetime, but it has serious potential to dramatically change both your life as well as the life of a precious child that needs your love and care.
That is really powerful. I had one of those goosebump moments listening to you talk about the words from the pastor.
Yeah,
wow.
It was beautiful.
It really
yeah.
was. Well, absolutely. And we encourage anyone listening who's interested in more information about Adoption Associates International programs to certainly give us a call. We'd love to talk with you about the need that exists. There are children waiting, needing families. Shannon, thank you so much for today and for taking
thank
time out
you.
Of what I know is a busy schedule for you.
You're welcome. Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Your information was exactly what we needed and so important. Remember, we are live every Tuesday at 11 on Adoption Focus. For listeners looking to connect with Adoption Associates, we'd love to hear from you at 800-677-2367 or visit us on the web at adoptionassociates.net. We hope that you can join us again next week when we will be speaking with a birth mother and a birth father about their decision to plan adoption for their newborn. For now, this is Jennifer on Adoption Focus. Have a great day, everyone. Bye-bye.